Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We need your help. We're digital and we need you to share. Most people in this country, unfortunately, are not even going to know what hit them. Let's give them an opportunity. And let's also bring them the gospel of Jesus Christ in the journey, okay? Because maybe we can save America. Maybe we can save the planet. Maybe we can't. But you can always save your own soul. We have Sam Arnold with us, and we're doing kind of an emergency push you to the front of the line broadcast because it has to do with a little bit of what we talked about last week, World War III. But things have gotten a lot more serious, a lot more definitive, and more people now have awareness. I was talking to one of my alt media colleagues the other day, and I said, "Did you know about da 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 and da 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 off the coast of India, Indian Ocean?" No, they know now. They know now. Hal Turner, same revelation. So we're going to be talking to Sam about how far World War III has progressed, what the situations are, the scenarios, locations, and so we're going to get into all that. But before we do, we got to pay some bills. And listen to me, this isn't paying bills. This is a preparation check for you. When the shooting starts, and it's going to start, are you going to have what you need to get food? Probably not. What you have is what you've got. So they kind of say that too. When martial law starts, where you're at is where you're going to stay. Well, that's true for your preps. And so I'm really encouraging you right now to take good advantage of the 25% off MPS, 25-year shelf life, 2,000 calories per day. And so this is really good stuff, folks. It's good quality. I've had it. You don't want to be in a position where you have to cross on the other side of the line where the barbed wire faces in to get your food. Preparewithdave.com is where you go. That's preparewithdave.com. Additionally, there will be an economy after we go through a war, after we go through economic downturn, civil war, whatever your cataclysm is, there always will be an economy afterwards. What's held its value through the years? Gold, silver. Well, Noble Gold can help protect your assets. I went from advertiser to customer, and for good reason. I've been back three times and going back and forth for a tweak because of changing circumstances. I trust them. They can get you ready for a softer landing from the crash that's coming. All you gotta do is call them and talk to them if you have assets to protect. 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. And then finally, when I've interviewed John Moore, and I love telling this story because it really proves my point. I asked John, this highly decorated Green Beret from Vietnam, said, "What was your scariest moment in combat, John?" And he said, "When we lost communications." And that'll happen. We're practicing for that on August 11th with a grid takedown drill. I mean, if the government's worried about it and practicing for it, shouldn't you be? Well, cell phone will be out. Internet will be out. Landlines will be out. What'll survive? Sat phones. What covers 100% of the planet? The sat phone we represent. What do cell phones cover? 8%. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no choice here. If you want to stay in communication with your loved ones, you need to invest in the sat phones. Now, they're not expensive. They're really not. And I pay about a quarter of the cost for one sat phone than I do for my entire cell phone bill. So what do you have to do? I'd give them a call. 855-980-5830. That's 855-980-5830. What we've done here for you, as we've tried to buffer you for a softer landing with the crash with Noble Gold, we've tried to say, hey, when the shooting starts or the economy hyperinflates, you're not going to get any food at that point. You better be ready. So we're warning you about that, and we're getting you prepared to be able to communicate with your loved ones, your family, get the intel, know what's going on. So we hope that you take advantage of these, folks. This is not just advertisements. This is a plea for me to get ready, because if you come to my door, or you're on the other side of the barbed wire, I know you not. I'm sorry. I have my own to take care of. Now, Sam Arnold and I have been talking World War III. He contacted me earlier today and said there's been some advancement in the things we talked about. So I said, Sam, let's do a follow-up on this. So, Sam, I'm glad you could join us. And things are getting very, very serious. I've dug into some of the things you told me, talked to a couple people. And we are on the cusp of World War III, no question.
Yes, let me just read a headline to start. This is from The War Zone on Twitter, at The War Zone Wire, from December 1st, 2020. And here's the headline: Air Force to build alternate airbase on Tinian Island in case Guam gets knocked out. It's an article from thedrive.com. So that article is 8 months old. But what I got to tell you right now is that we've got aircraft on that base right now, and that is one of three major exercises that are going on heading towards China. China responded to those provocations today and say it, and they said military exercises increasingly moving towards real combat patterns, and they said to prepare for a blow at any moment. Hal Turner reported that. It's out of the Global Times, which is, you know, the party apparatus newspaper out of China. So here's the thing. There's military forces from all over the world converging on China. We're going to focus on three main vectors today, which are the Pacific Iron exercises on Guam and nearby Tiananmen, which is probably the largest assemblage of F-22 fighter planes and others. But just the F-22s is probably a quarter of our deployable fleet of F-22s, which are irreplaceable. There's an exercise in Australia called Talisman Sabre 2021, and this is in addition to our ongoing reporting on the CSG-21, Carrier Strike Group 21, which now includes the Queen Elizabeth carrier from England, perhaps the most modern and newest in the world, the U.S. supercarrier Ronald Reagan, and another WASP-class flat deck carrying F-35s, the USS, I don't want to make a mistake, the America is somewhere else, but one of those WASP-class carriers is also with that strike group, alongside supporting vessels. And so we've been watching this development, we've been watching the mini-carrier arms race, and as much as I really enjoy my time with you, Dave, and we chum around a bit, and I really enjoy that, but right now, this is a three-alarm fire. The Chinese have said that they may strike first and that these military exercises look like actual combat deployments. So let's look at it.
Okay, let's do.
Fantastic. I've reported on the mini-carrier arms race. Our U.S. military has maybe 11 carriers, but we have 20 more amphibious landing ships. And the Bonhomme Richard, which caught fire last year in San Francisco and burned for days, was one of them. So I did an article on this telling that this was one of the first of a new class of mini aircraft carriers, and that the U.S. was the only nation that had them in operation, but the Japanese were building, South Korea may build, and of course, England had been without an operational carrier for a few years. There was really a gap in the defense of the free world under Obamanomics, where England didn't even have an operational carrier. They had retired their carrier and they didn't have a new one. And so the world had kind of just gotten lulled into this complacency. And so there's been an arms race about these military flat tops, these what they call STOVL carriers, short takeoff vertical landing. And the key to it is the jump jet. The Harriers did a good job of this for a lot of years, but the F-35 was mired. It was in this boondoggle. We never knew whether it was going to ever fly. Trump took office and he was trying to look into these matters now that he had all of his security clearances, what was actually going to work and what was just the deep state bleeding billions and jillions onto boondoggle programs that were never going to work. So for example, the Zumwalt class carrier, destroyer, which was supposed to be the new one with the stealth conformity and radar invisibility and the electric railgun, an all-electric drive and an electric railgun. Trump scrapped that. The USS Zumwalt is out patrolling, and it's a powerful ship in its own right as a missile carrier, but it's actually out there at sea with no railgun on it. I'm not even sure if they ever retrofitted a standard naval gun. It's kind of an oddity that it's even out there. But he just pulled the plug on that program. And then we never knew whether the F-35 was going to wind up in the scrap heap too. Probably the globalists ceased production of the F-22 because it was actually working. They needed a new boondoggle. This is why the F-22s that are forward deployed to Guam and Tinan are so irreplaceable. The production lines have been dismantled. The F-22s that are is the only ones that ever will be, unless the production's restarted from zero. I mean, we have the technology, but there's a huge investment in setting up the production lines and getting things ready to go. When Trump came to Des Moines, he talked about our tank factory, our million square foot M1 Abrams tank factory in Ohio, and he said it could never be replaced. I went and toured it. I talked to the people, the skilled laborers that do so many parts of the building of the Abrams tank, they could never be replaced. And he said, so I made sure as your president to keep that facility alive, which keeps our possibility alive to produce more of those tanks. And he said, and we are producing them. We've got new tanks now. But the F-22 production line was completely dismantled. And the F-35 didn't fly. It was really an embarrassment. So Trump went in and made the F-35 fly, and this was the key to the entire mini carrier arms race. The AV-8B Sea Harrier was a great plane. It's 50 years old. It's not really what we needed. Japan was running in their self-defense force. They still had squadrons of F-4 Phantom fighter planes, but they wanted the F-35. So Trump went and just, we'll get in piece by piece to the history, but Trump went in and actually walked the deck of Japan's flat top helicopter carrying destroyers. He went with Melania, they went and kicked the tires, and Trump pointed at the deck and he said, this very ship will soon be modified to carry the F-35. And so that was kind of lost in the news, lost amidst the scandals, but now China is finally in a rage. They are finally seeing that the entire free world may confront them, that there are military forces converging on them from multiple directions, and this may be the entire world uniting against China. Now, you had something to say about the Russia-Chinese alliance. Did you want to get into that?
We can, yeah, sure, absolutely.
So, you said that Russia may sit this one out. Since things did not catch fire in the Black Sea, since Biden and Boris Johnson were unsuccessful in starting World War III between the U.S., Britain, and some European nations against Russia, since all that fizzled and that our ships have departed from their borders, that maybe Russia will sit this one out and not interfere with the free world dealing with China.
I'm getting those messages. I am. But the Japanese issued a message tonight, right before we came on the air, Sam. And cryptically, it was interpreted by someone in South Korea who said it looks like they're warning America against a joint Chinese and Russian attack. Do you think there's any possibility that that could happen?
There's always a possibility. I think that Trump made great strides with Russia. The Mexican president has a good working relationship with the Russian president. I'm broadcasting right now from Mexico, where I have asked for asylum from the president of Mexico. Mexico is a nuclear-armed nation, by the way. A lot of your listeners probably don't know that. It's a closely guarded secret, but Mexico is not the nation it's been made out to be in popular culture and in the news. It is a vital ally for the United States. The labor of Mexico is necessary for us to win any global war because all the factories in production just like Ross Perot said, came south with a great sucking sound. The globalists had their plan, but now that there's a nationalist movement and a good president in Mexico, all that has turned around. It's not working for the globalists anymore. And you and I did a great broadcast about that, why the Chinese are looking to the islands of the Caribbean, because so much of their foothold in Mexico has been dismantled by the current administration. But I think that Putin sees the puppets for who they are. I think that Boris Johnson, I think his cojones are in the desk drawer. I think the Queen has really pulled his chain, and we can talk a little bit more about that. I also think that Biden is known to be a puppet by Putin. I think that Biden only has partial control, and this isn't hopium, this is just us looking at the indicators, that there's too much of America that loves our nation and does not want to do what Biden intends and flush it all down the toilet. His quantitative easing is going in a completely different direction. Trump's QE actually focused on building infrastructure, preserving infrastructure, rebuilding our military so that we could actually do these things. And it's happened just in the nick of time. And a lot of the news has gone quiet. Trump said this very ship will carry the F-35, and then you hear nothing about it. One article about how Japan finally retired their F-4s and they got new F-35s. The Australian ships, you know, Australia has two flat deck carriers equipped with a ski jump. So that's a Stovall carrier. It may not have all the necessary heat shielding as a design aspect, but the fact that they have these two ships, and one of them is drilling with U.S., Japanese, and British forces right now as a part of Talisman Sabre 2021, is an indication that that ship is probably ready to go. And something else that I've noticed in watching Taiwan, by the way, I'm putting together an article. It'll have over 30 links when it's done, and by the time this broadcasts, it'll be up. So please look for that on subscribestar.com/gospelgunslingers, and we detail the buildup of all of this, and then the three major prongs that are happening right now outside of normal carrier patrols, normal basing of carriers, which, by the way, they've also gone pretty silent. It's getting hard to find where a carrier group is at any moment. If you follow me on Twitter, also Gospel Gunslingers, I'm reporting as different blips come up from satellite photos and this and that, where is this group and that group. But the bottom line is the Chinese finally came out and said, we see you're coming for us, and we will strike first. So this is the whole world, and it is our darkest hour. We are under threat from new lockdowns around the world. We are under threat from a new fake pandemic, or even a real release of a lethal biological pathogen that could cripple the whole world. And as the president of El Salvador said in March of last year, so this is 16 months ago, mm-hmm. He said, a lot of people, muchos no han dado cuenta, many people have not yet noticed that World War III has already begun.
Yeah.
This is the president of a nation, an allied nation, and he's a conservative president that's putting his nation first, that helped us a lot to solve our migrant crisis, and Trump helped his nation a lot, and he just came out and said, World War III has begun, and a lot of people just haven't noticed. So for China to come out and say, all right, we see you're coming, and we might just come out swinging, today is the day that it's very apparent that the collision is imminent.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Is it going to be natural? Is it going to be artificially contrived? I think those are questions that still have to be answered, but I think you're absolutely right. Do you look for the mother of all false flags?
You know, we don't even need a false flag. Somebody sent me a link today telling about the Chinese control system in their northwestern province, how they control the Uyghurs that are not in concentration camps, how they have open-air prisons where every aspect of their life is observed, surveilled, and controlled. And you know what the threat always is? That they go away to a labor camp. For example, there are women whose husbands have been taken from them and put into a camp. They're issued a Han Chinese Communist Party member as their husband. And then this husband is always lecturing the rest of the family, this woman and any children, on communist ideology. She takes a birth control pill at work with her lunch. It's all observed and controlled by the Communist Party, and always has to be subject to his advances. And here's the threat. The threat is, or you go away.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
You go away. And we already have that in America, and everybody knows that. You can't even shoot a bad guy without losing your entire life, probably facing murder charges. And even if you defend yourself successfully, probably you'll be broke, and it takes 3 or 4 years to do. So everybody knows in the United States that if they step out of line, if they defend themselves, if they stand up for our historical ideals, if they stand up for President Trump, if they talk about election irregularities, if they talk about fake news, if they talk about censorship, that they'll be brought up on charges. And it's gotten so bad that I have had to leave the country, because I've had many, 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 many close scrapes. And every week, another person that you know or that I know or that we broadcast with is either died suspiciously,
yep,
in an Arkansas, or they're brought up on charges and facing 10, 20, 30 years. And these are people that have not committed any crime other than those things. They levy lawful political protest. And if a person stands for their life, why, that's another thing entirely. I just tweeted today about a really nice guy who was sentenced to 93 years in prison for defending himself against a lethal attack on the streets of Omaha, Nebraska. This guy was a Marine. Everybody liked him. He'd spent years building his little bar, a place for people to go and have fun. Everybody liked him and his place, but the anarchists attacked his father. He defended himself at the very last moment and killed a guy with his lawfully carried pistol. And in the end, he was brought up on charges, sentenced to 93 years, and he took his own life. And so that's where we already are, okay? We don't need another Oklahoma City event or another Twin Towers event, because the whole purpose of those events was to get the Patriot Act and all the corresponding legislation and all the weaponization of the FBI, the DOJ, etc., together. And that's already done. So just like the woman who has to have sex with an alien that's not of her race, not of her religion, that is an adulterous rapist, and knows that if she steps out of line one iota or resists him at all, she'll go off to a prison forever or a labor camp or be executed. It's exactly the same in America. So I know there's a lot of talk in the conservative media about a false flag, but here's what bothers me about it. The real underlying message is, don't you dare defend yourself, and don't you dare defend your community against enemies foreign and domestic, because that will be the false flag that they need, that the politicized DOJ, FBI, etc. need to go arrest all the patriots. They're already arresting all the patriots. And I got to tell the whole world from a foreign place where I'm a little bit safer, don't you let the opportunity pass if you have a chance to fight to preserve your freedom or your life for even one more day. Because if you surrender, it'll all be gone. And hopefully what's left of America will actually go and fight for our freedom and attack the heart of globalism, which is the muscle of it is in China. I still believe the Pope's behind that, but the fact that forces of the free world, U.S., Britain, Australia, the Netherlands even, and many, many Asian nations are coming together to maybe cut the head off of this monster once and for all. I think it's great. And we are moving into the end times, but I just don't believe what's so often stated about a false flag event. I think that there's an underlying message to keep people from defending themselves and their homes and their families when they're only going to have one chance to not hesitate. I forget what the drill sergeant said about that in old Full Metal Jacket. If your killer instincts are not honed and clean, you will hesitate. You will become dead Marines.
So much for adapting, right?
I feel like the talk of a false flag and the false flag season is to get people to hesitate. And I think that the opposite needs to be the case. They need to have their edges honed and clean and ready to defend themselves and their families. We're so far beyond. You know, everybody always thought when they came for our children that we'd stand. And for more than a generation, our children have been programmed to not be like us at all, to hate America. And now even out of West Point, it's communist after communist coming out of there. And our military can't wait for those graduates to become commissioned officers to get 10 years into their career and be decision makers. We can't wait. It's now or never. And I have a great deal of hope that our forces are actually mobilizing and converging, and maybe we'll defeat China. Maybe we'll defeat it.
The only way that happens, Sam, is for China to join the side of the United States.
Well, we got a lot of space weapons where if they jump, we could really do great damage to their leadership and their bunkers. But I'm just going to look at it from the other perspective. I see the only way we can free ourselves from the tentacles that are in the United States is to cut off the head, which is actually China. So much of the infiltration of our universities, of our politicians, of the Soros DAs is coming from China. The voting, the ballots have come from China. The computers come from China. And if we go over there and wreck the place, maybe we can pull those suckers and tentacles off one at a time in our own nation. But I don't see that we can shake ourselves free from the bonds within our own nation while China has a secure homeland to run the show from. I don't see that. That's why this is good.
Let's remind people about the... there's two things I want to back up and talk about here. The task force off the coast of India, on the Indian-Chinese border, 250,000 Indian troops, multinational. I want to hit that a little bit. And then all of a sudden, Japan, they're like eating their Cheerios. Let's go there.
Okay. Let's hit Japan first because we can wrap that up quicker. Japan is one of the Quad nations. So one of the things that Trump brought back from its deathbed was something that India had started years before called the Quadrilateral Security Dialogue. And it's the idea that there are four major points that could resist Chinese influence in the Indo-Pacific. And those are India, Australia, Japan, and the United States. And if the four of us got together, well, then China wouldn't be able to bully them one at a time. You know, India is a very populous nation and a nuclear-armed nation and a very advanced nation in aviation and an aircraft carrier power. And so they have a fighting chance to really hurt China bad in a bipolar war just with them and China. But then when they add in Japan and the United States and Australia, all of a sudden we could actually have an advantage in the Pacific. And so this dialogue came back, and then Japan started doing some other things. They started to say that, okay, just for example, when the Chinese fleets were in the Taiwan Strait, Japan made a public statement if they fire on Taiwan, we will sink their fleet within an hour. That's what the Japanese said to China. And so Japan started seeing Taiwan as a nation that they needed to link arms with, link elbows and stand together. That island hopping campaigns were not going to stop. That if the Chinese take over Taiwan, they're going to continue with what they call their 9-dash line plan, with their first, second, and third island chain plan, and continue to expand into the Indo-Pacific to prevent the United States from ever being able to get close enough to strike them. And so, and they've also done other things, them modifying their Azuma class carriers for the F-35. When they laid the keel in 2012, and this is all in articles on my Subscribestar, just look for Gospel Gunslingers, and this top article actually links to those other articles. When they laid the keels in 2012, China protested and said, it is against your Japanese constitution to have aircraft carriers. This is aircraft carrier. And Japan said, no, this is a helicopter carrying destroyer. That's why it was such a huge deal when Trump went and stood on the deck and pointed his finger down at the deck and said, this very ship will carry the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter. That was China's fears coming all to a head, that this extremely sophisticated power, Japan, would fight them. And if they lift a finger, then they'll fight them. And because of that, because of cooperation, even with South Korea, now there's been attempts, because Japan and South Korea have had rivalries and wars in the past. But right now, they see themselves as, look, we're Western powers, we are free nations, and we're going to have to work together. And there have been some bumps in the road. There have been some scandals, you know, with former comfort girls from World War II and things like that, trying to get in between. But the thing is, Japan even sees South Korea as an ally that they must stand with. They can't let China and even China's proxy, North Korea, bully South Korea, because if they do, that it's just a matter of time until the noose tightens around Japan. A lot of the missiles that North Korea launches go into the Japan Sea or even over Japan. So Japan's ticked off about that. So when Trump went and stood on the deck of the Izuma-class carrier, that was a key moment because, and the article was in The Diplomat on 2019, when he did that, it was a key moment because there was a change in the monarchy of Japan. And that change in the monarchy, you know, monarchies have been sidelined for a lot of years, and right now they're coming into importance again, which Revelation talks about kings, three kings, seven kings, the kings of the earth. And now, lo and behold, the kings are and the queens are having an effect. I really think that Boris has lost control of the United Kingdom's military, and that Queen Elizabeth, to whom the soldiers and sailors personally swear an oath, is pulling the strings. I believe that she's the one who ordered the withdrawal out of the Black Sea and the carrier strike group to go on as it was intended to do and go and militarize Singapore and go and confront China. And so there was a change in the Japanese monarchy, and that change allowed the Japanese military, which is called the Japan Self-Defense Force, it allowed that military to begin to project power. And so since the Japanese have started to do that, China has come out, and the Hal Turner article from last night is, we're going to nuke you first. China threatened that if there's any conflict, if Japan lifts a finger to prevent reunification between mainland China and Taiwan, that they will use nuclear weapons continuously until Japan surrenders unconditionally. So yes, Japan has got skin in the game, and they are in it to win it. They're in it for their own survival. They understand that their nation, their livelihood, their freedom their existence has been straightly threatened, and now it's all out in the open. It's not just a saber rattling and a little bit of tit for tat buildups. So Japan's also been helping Taiwan with their submarine technology. And oh, the Chinese are really ticked off about that.
Yeah, okay. I see the dynamics, but I do hear your admonition, your warning that South Korea and Japan don't get along well, and they very well might have trouble fully uniting and trusting. But with China staring over both their shoulders, I don't think they have a choice.
I agree. Now, you brought up India, and that the carrier strike group 21, the Ronald Reagan supercarrier and the Queen Elizabeth, are actually in the Indian Ocean right now. And India has been bolstering their defenses. China and India have both, and they both have order of magnitude 200,000 troops on that Himalayan border. And they've been building bunkers. They've been building aircraft revetments. They've been building airstrips and bringing in more and more weapons and men. And here again, their nuclear powers. There's already been deaths in this area from their skirmishes and conflicts, and a lot of clear statements back and forth about how they're going to clobber one another. So India knows that this is a fight for its existence, because the Chinese would just love to blow them off of the map with their superior nuclear arsenal. So India, though, is such a powerful ally for us to have. They and what the focus of my article is about is, aside from these three major prongs, the Indian nation is a significant carrier power. So it just came out in one article that in December of 2020, the F-18 Hornet passed a ski jump takeoff test. Why this is important, and I've got this all documented, is because India has been wanting F-18 fighters. They run MiGs on their carriers, and they've been running a hurry-up offense to get their domestically produced carrier into service. And the news has been very, very, very quiet about it, but it was supposed to be ready in 2021. So here we are in 2021, and you know, we kind of have gotten used to the news and even military news just being cheap and easy. And like the water faucet, you just go crank that handle and man, the water comes out. And during peacetime, the nation's militaries are like that. Oh, hey, so-and-so's gonna got a new tank. Well, we're going to run through Congress a new arms deal, sell 100 tanks to this or that nation. And really, all of that has stopped. All of that is done. Now we are in a wartime economy. We are in a threat of war and really proceeding towards open war. So this is why the location of ships is getting harder and harder to find, and what nations are actually doing is getting harder and harder to nail down. But the carrier in India, the new one, is supposed to be ready right now. Now, I don't know how many MiG-29s they have, but here's the deal. They've been in talks to get F-18s from the United States, and the F-18 passed the ski jump test, and so India is militarizing in a whole new way with air power and carrier power to confront China. So yes, that is happening, and it is big.
Well, it's probably time for me to bring this in. As you know, I've got a good contact connected to the Space Force, and Biden does not control it. Biden does not control the submarine fleet. I've been reporting on that for years. He may be able to replace a person here or there, but he can't control the infrastructure, which is fiercely loyal to America. In fact, I'm going to tell this story, Sam.
Please do.
I think it's very, very poignant. I've heard this now in two circles, independent of each other, that when Obama was going through his we're going to change the structure of the submarine fleet so I can control it. And they says, oh, no, you're not. And so what they do, let's say they had four officers. You had the captain, the exec, and you had two other officers, usually ensign grade, Lieutenant JG. And they would, the four of them would meet in a wardroom when they would start to sail and before they'd go radio silent for a while. And they'd say, if so and so attacks our nation, here are our targets, already predetermined. There will be no deviation from mission. And if you deviate from the mission, you will be tried and immediately executed as a traitor. And I'm not joking when I say this. There are people in the submarine fleet who've attacked me for saying this. And then I had someone else after I said it, and I was viciously attacked publicly. This person contacted me from the submarine fleet, said, I don't know how you know this, but you're exactly right. And so we have that element. There are 72 war class nuclear submarines right now. Probably the LA might be the most dangerous. Each one has 8 to 24 nuclear weapons capable of taking out a city the size of Phoenix, 4 million people. And they have predetermined targets depending on country of aggression. That's one. Biden
Yes.
can't touch it. Number two, the Space Force. Biden fired the head of the Space Force, but he does not penetrate it. And there is no equal in space right now. We can rain down holy hell from space on any target of our choice. Biden has been refused admission to the Pentagon. This was covered by myself and others. Well, as long as 3 months ago, Milley is part of the Biden team, so is the Secretary of Navy. However, and here's the big however, these two are by themselves. When Biden tried to go to the Pentagon about 3 months ago, it was the Marine Corps Commandant that said, you shall not pass. Turn around and
Wow.
leave. And that's been reported. I put that out there first, and people kind of raised their eyebrows, really? And then other people began to get word of this and pick up on it too. The Pentagon is a divided animal. I have a very, very good source who hooked me up last May of 2020, with two people that worked in the Pentagon. And they said there's so much division in the Pentagon that they go armed to work because they could expect a conflict working, breaking out there because of the division. And there could be an instant, let's say, battle
Gunfire.
between military forces. Yes. And it could even be on site at the Pentagon. So,
Well,
this
we've
part I've
all
known
seen
about
the
for some time,
movies.
but here's the bottom line. Biden doesn't control very much. Milley has clearly come out and staked his case on the winner. And what I didn't tell you today, Sam, I'm going to throw out here right now. I don't know if you caught this or not, but it's highly relevant to what I'm talking about. Biden hinted he was going to have the UN come in and deal with racism. Did you hear this?
I've heard rumblings. Tell.
Yes, it's true. He did say it. I heard it. I go, nah, it can't be true. And I went and I looked. I said, he pretty much is saying that. He didn't say it as directly as I just said it, but he meant what I just said. Now, the reason he wants to bring in the UN is not because of racism. That's a concocted conflict in this country. He wants to bring in the UN because he can't control the military. That's the bottom line. And Milley is coming down on critical race theory, climate change, Biden's wonderful, because he's going to side with the UN. And there'll be people that'll follow him. There'll be division, except for the Marine Corps, I believe. There'll be division in each one of the branches where some will
Yes.
follow, and there'll be complete division. The Marine Corps is unified, they're not dividing. But I'm going to say this. The bulk of the military, and I'm going to say 65%, are not going to capitulate to Biden. Absolutely incredible. In fact, you know what's come out of all this, and this is something too that when I saw the congressional testimony of Milley and things that came out, Fox News did an analysis, but as most disinfo networks do, which they're controlled opposition, they get you to believe something and boom, hit you with a deception down the road. But what they
Right.
did when they covered Milley, they got him on sabotaging the Afghan withdrawal, facilitating Chinese coming in, and either Milley or Biden or both told the Chinese when we were leaving, otherwise they wouldn't have known how to organize their forces so quickly to get into our bases. But the biggest thing that
In
came out
Afghanistan,
in Afghanistan, yes. Now here's the thing that
I
really
saw them
bought
in there clowning around in the weight room and taking selfies and stuff just to rub it in that they had taken over our bases. So go on.
You're exactly right. But here's what really cinched this for me with Millie. Millie knows that when push comes to shove, a lot of the military is going to come down on the side of America. And we're seeing proof of that right now in the Pacific. The very thing that we're talking about right now solidifies the loyalty of most of these forces for the American Constitution, the Republic, and the people. And I think honestly too, I think Australia has awakened, and there's no future in China, and they know that. I think India has known this for some time, and these nations are determined. But here's what it means for America. I do believe we're going to see major false flags of race nature. Trump supporters, conservative Christians are going to get blamed. The UN is going to be brought in. And by the way, the Cook County commissioners in the early days of the Obama administration fired a trial balloon. When there was violence then, they said, can the UN come in? And it hit a lot of backlash in the media. And then they tried the same crap when Trump was sworn in, and Trump came and squashed. He goes, ain't no military coming in here from a foreign country. He said, you want your
Right.
National Guard? You can call it the National Guard. So, long-winded explanation for this. Sides are drawn, okay? There is going to be a civil war. There is going to be a simultaneous world war. And we just got to hope that we don't get caught in the middle, because there's an old saying, when the elephants rumble, the ants get crushed. And we're the ants.
America's going into a time of testing. I just hope that it's open, because right now we're part of the prison planet. We all know that we can get hauled off to the gulag by a 30-man SWAT team at any time. I'm not going to even tell how many times my preaching mission team has gotten SWAT team. But I'm just done hanging out in America where that can happen. I have international protection right now, and our nation needs to evolve out of the place where that's happening, and hopefully conflict on an international scale will galvanize that. Now, you brought up Australia, and I hadn't really talked about the exercises that are going on there, which is one of the major prongs going towards China. So can we touch on that?
Sure.
Okay. Make sure you follow me, guys, on Twitter. Just search Gospel Gunslingers or Honold Samuel, if you can spell my last name. And a lot of these are on here with article links. Of course, the main article's on subscribestar.com. But let me just read from this. HMAS, that's Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth's Australian ship, HMAS Canberra, and her sister ship, HMAS Adelaide, were designed for stovable aircraft operations and have ski jumps. Whether their heat shielding and final mods for F-35B operations were completed when Japan's two ships were upgraded is anybody's guess. Dot, dot, dot. So, as part of this operation, this exercise is called Talisman Sabre. You can search that, hashtag Talisman Sabre or Talisman Sabre 2021. And I'm talking the Aussies tweet about this. United States forces tweet about this. We've been launching Patriot missiles on Australian soil for the first time as part of this exercise. But here's what I wanted to state, that the USS America, which is one of our mini carriers, it's like the Bonhomme Richard, is practicing with Japan, Korea, and several of Her Majesty's Australian ships in the ongoing Talisman Sabre 2021 exercise. Forces are in place for a potent three-pronged attack on China. And so the Aussies are talking about this, that they may be able to see this or that ship when they go in for supplies, even though the quarantines are still pretty severe in Australia and may, in fact, get worse. But what I wanted to state about this is that these flat-top ships like the USS America are actually amphibious landing ships. And so they can deploy troops, a marine, excuse me, expeditionary unit. They call that a MEU. They can hold almost the whole thing in their cargo holds, and they either get up close to the dock and disgorge smaller ships, or one of the things that they carry is LCAC, Landing Craft Air Cushion, hovercrafts. So they can be full of tanks. They can be full of all kinds of things, all kinds of military equipment. And part of what has limited Taiwan from being able to really, really defend itself as a nation is they don't have a satisfactory amount of new armor. So if these types of ships, like the USS America, the HMAS Canberra and HMAS Adelaide, are used to make a landing not on a hostile nation, but on friendly Taiwan, that armor and those troops and those Patriot batteries would do so much to bolster the defense of the island that it would really, really give trouble to the Chinese. And this is one of the main things that's happening in Talisman Sabre 2021 is the practicing of amphibious landings. Aside from the fact that all of those ships carry air power, and probably they can all carry the F-35. So this is what China is really worried about. And you're right, Australia is, it's on a razor's edge. It's on the edge of civil war. But I think that in the military, they've discovered, and I think that the Queen is really behind this. I could talk more about that, but I really think that the Queen is behind all of this and has decided to confront China directly. And when that happens, it gives every little nation a fighting chance to clean its own house. I think you and I both know, Dave, that we're not going to get our nation, our house, cleaned out without some frontier justice. And that's not going to happen in peacetime. It only happens in war or in the event of collapses.
I hate to say you're right, but you're right. You know, the Christian now, part of me says don't advocate for violence.
CSG-21 departed out of England. It was, and I'm going to quote from this article, or from the Ministry of Defense of Britain. They said CSG-21 was the largest concentration of maritime and air power ever to leave the United Kingdom. And I added, and this before rendezvousing with the United States Fifth Fleet, the Ronald Reagan supercarrier, and another Wasp-class flat top. And that's aside from the Talisman Sabre 2021 Aussie fleet, and it's aside from the Pacific Iron air power assembled on Guam and Guam's sister island of Tainan, where that air base has really been rebuilt from the ground up. You know, we ran B-29 strikes to Japan out of that nonstop in World War II, but it was all dilapidated, and all of it's been rebuilt in the last 6 months, and right now we have jets on the tarmac on that island of Tainan. Is that incredible?
Yeah, it is. Well, it just shows you what's coming.
Get ready to rumble.
Yeah, it does. It clearly shows you that the contingencies were developed during the Trump administration. At what point does Biden give up and realize he's not going to control the outcome of this? And if he's not careful, he may go down as the first president tried for treason.
I wonder each day if he's ever going to get up at 11, if he's going to get up from his nap and put his foot in his mouth on anything. I feel like his hold on power and even on life and on sanity is very tenuous. And I do think that his hands are off the levers in a lot of areas. There's a struggle between invisible Democrat powers, which have now come out and said, oh yeah, we are surveilling everything. We are investigating everything. We're monitoring all of America's communications. So those behind the scenes powers are struggling with real white hats, with real military career officers, with real entrenched diplomats who have kept quiet for a long, long time, hoping that they could make one, that they could strike together to make a difference in the world. And I just hope now is the time.
You really think it's going to happen?
I feel like we've got one chance. And let me just throw an evidence on the table if we're not totally out of time. Cuba dreamed for six decades of disrupting the entire Latin world, of destroying the free economies of Latin America. And decade after decade, they fell further behind. They were more on the teat of Russia and Soviet powers, China, and the nations of Latin America resisted their advances, repelled their guerrilla invasions and insurrections, and got more ahead and more prosperity and more free. And then when the Chinese launched the COVID, guess who went to all of Latin America?
Yeah, exactly.
Cuban doctors. And when people ask me about this on the street and talk about how the COVID's killing people, my response is, Medico Cubano mata Mexicanos. It's Cuban doctors that are murdering Mexicans and in every other nation. And there were, at one point, 800 publicized, 800 Cuban medical doctors in Mexico. You know, my friend went and went down to the hospital at night and was working behind the scenes, and they opened up a semi-trailer and it was full of dead kids. You know, maybe 100 or more. The whole thing was piled with bodies of children that had been, in one way or another, exterminated, and they were there dead. And he had to look at that, and they had these trailers lined up. It wasn't the only one. Semi-trailers, you know, 40 foot long.
And it's amazing. So, Sam,
Cuba,
let's go ahead and finish this point, because
Cuba had made their dream assault to disrupt the whole of Latin America, and here, just in the past 7 days, their own nation is about to get overthrown. It's fallen apart from the inside. And so at this point, Dave, nothing would surprise me. There's hope. And let's not remember that God is still alive and that he can catch the wise in their craftiness. And it's something that we can all hope in at the last hour, at the last moment, for the cavalry to come over the hilltop.
Exactly.
That's what I need with this convergence on China.
Let's hope that's true. 10 seconds. Tell us how to follow you.
Gospel Gunslinger.
Can you say that again? You just cut out.
I really appreciate my prayer partners and financial sponsors. I'm just out here alone in the jungle.
All right. Well, look, really good stuff. We got to cut and run, but thanks so much for joining us, Sam. Can't wait to see the results of the show. Thanks.
Have a good one, Dave.